to be strong in today's world. Strong. Keep your focus and up. What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams. Hey. Keep moving forward. Never accept less than who you are. Live your best life. Hey. Be strong and free. It's the Hit Back. Hey. With Nahasha Black. Hey. It's the Hit Back. Hey. With Nahasha Black. Hey. It's the Hit Back. Hey. With Nahasha Black. Hey. It's the Hit Back. Hey. With Nahasha Black.
Good afternoon, everybody. You have to let me know now. You have to let me know now by your text and your thumbs up if you can hear me. Because we just had a full show with no sound. I don't know what is happening. But I guess even StreamYard and all of the technological devices are excited today. But if you're listening via Guardian Radio, if you're watching via YouTube, if you're watching via Facebook Live, when you're tuned into the Hit Back with Nahasha Black, she's not here today, but I'm your special guest host in the chair. This is her good friend, Robin Lines. I'm so excited to be here today. I want to say thank you for all of you that are tuning in, all of you that are listening in. And so right across the screen, if you're watching via YouTube, if you're watching via Facebook, you'll see the call, 323-6232, call in, 325-4316 or 325-4259, or you can text 422-4796. Be a part of this great show today. Nahasha had some urgent matters to attend to, but she'll be back in the big chair on Monday. I'm excited about today's show. I even have a free giveaway today, and so I'm going to figure out who is going to be the lucky person that's going to receive that giveaway. It's a $20 gift certificate from the Cookie Cutter. Or the Cookie Caterer, I got to check that out. But if you have a sweet tooth or you know someone who has a sweet tooth, then you want to stick and stay. You want to make sure that you get that prize today. I'm not in studio alone. I have some incredible guests with me. I know we have to work out a few technical issues, but today we're talking about food security in the Bahamas. How do we achieve it? Are we doing enough? And so to help us navigate that very path, an important national discussion, I have with me today Senator the Honorable Dr. Eresia Hepburn. She's going to be joining us. She actually has a PhD in agriculture, so sis knows what she's talking about when it comes to food production, food security. We also have Mr. Leroy Major, who's a Member of Parliament for Southern Shores and also the newly appointed chairman for the BAIC. All right, and then last but certainly not least, The Cookie Caterer, that's right. And last but not least, certainly, is Ms. Karen Shepherd, and she is the chairman of the Bahamas Agri Entrepreneurs Cooperative. And so all of them have such a unique but very important perspective on food security. And when we talk about food security, we are not just talking about access to food. We're also talking about the quality of the food that we are accessing. And so for us in the Bahamas, each year, the last I checked, we pay about $1 billion to import food into this country. $1 billion leaves our economy and goes predominantly to the U.S. and other economies to purchase food. So we have not been able to feed ourselves or put any kind of significant dent into the amount of money that we spend on food. And all of us know a lot of the food that we eat is unhealthy. A lot of the food that we eat is of poor quality. A lot of the food that we eat sometimes is for export only and is not even consumed in the countries that we're importing it from. So we want to talk about this. We want to talk about what we are capable of doing as a nation. What are the resources that are available to us? And are we maximizing the potential of our country in relation to food security? So I want to start with Senator Eresia Hepburn, and I want to bring her in to have a quick conversation with me. And then, of course, we'll get to some of our other guests. But Senator Hepburn, can you hear me?
And thank you very much, Attorney Lyons, for having me on your show today.
Well, thank you for being part of the show. And I'm so sorry for all the technical challenges that we had at the onset of the show. You know, I'm not really sure what happened or when it happened. But all I know is I'm glad we were able to resolve it. And I'm very happy for everybody that is stuck through all the way. So I want to get right to you, Senator. And then we're going to
enjoy the music.
Huh?
We enjoyed the music.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. So you know, we're talking about food security, and this has been a passion of yours for a long time, for as long as I've known you. You've always been one of those people who are always talking farming, always talking organic food, always talking the local production of food. So when we talk about food security, first of all, tell us a little bit about that master's degree you have in agriculture.
I have a PhD in agricultural policy.
That's right.
My master's is in agriculture and applied economics and statistics. And my undergrad degree is in animal and poultry science. So you could tell that agriculture and agricultural development has been something that I've been passionate about, like you said, for a very long time. Me and some of my cohorts might have a different look at it for what I think the plan should be for the Bahamas moving forward. But I think we need to ensure when we talk about food security, we understand that there are at least four pillars to food security. You touched on one when you talk about access. So you need to have access, availability, utilization, and stability. And so most people think or thought before COVID that they were food secure. We have done a lot of research in it. A colleague of mine, in Delaware, and myself have done a lot of research on food security and insecurity in the Bahamas. And pre-COVID, the numbers were a lot lower than I'm sure they are post-COVID. We're getting ready to do another survey coming up after giving people a chance to, of course, catch yourself because, you know, you're overwhelmed having to deal with COVID. You don't want to then come back and frustrate people just for them to explain to you some of the issues that they haven't. But what we talk about is, do people have access to, like you say, to healthy foods? You know what people have a lot of access to is noodles and stuff like that, because can you really afford, do you know how much a head of lettuce now, Romaine, is like almost
$10? Absolutely.
And so we have to encourage people to support local farmers. If you go right to C.V. Bethel, you can get that same head of lettuce. You know where it come from. Directly from the schools, you're supporting the schools for five. So I think a part of it is us making sure that local farmers get out there and let us know what they're producing. And that's something that I think we're going to work on. We have to get BAMSI back up and running to where it's supposed to be. We have to ensure that we encourage backyard farming programs so people could alleviate some of the financial burden on themselves. That is something that we have to do so we could start a paradigm shift. I don't expect everybody to be a farmer. I don't. But I do know that if your neighbor at least grow in some tomatoes or lettuce, then you could exchange something with them. You see what I'm saying? I mean, we have to find different ways to be creative. COVID has taught us that we cannot rely on major countries, and we may have to shift some of the things that we like to eat. It's easier to grow cassava. It's easy to grow okra. My neutral okra seeds outside, they can catch whether you want them, catch or not.
It's interesting you said that, Senator, because this is one of the things that I always talk about in these conversations that I continue to have, that COVID has kind of disrupted the way we live. COVID has disrupted the status quo, and all of the conversations seem to be centered around us moving back to some kind of normalcy. All of the conversations seem to be centered around us getting back to where we were. But where we were wasn't working in many respects. And so this is about a reset. This is about a shift. This is about a shift in mindset, a shift in understanding, a shift in policy, a shift in legislation, a shift in public conversation and education. Because when we talk about food security, when we talk about being able to sustain our food production, not just for local consumption, but also for exporting opportunities. We have the water. We have the land mass. Now we need to focus on the human resources, right? We need to focus on access to capital and whether or not we're doing enough as a country, whether or not governments are doing enough to subsidize, to support our local farming and fishing industry. And I want to bring in now Ms. Karen Shepherd so that she can talk about a little bit about this when we talk about the support of our farmers, of our fishermen, of people who are in the industry, because Karen has been in the industry for a long time.
Yeah,
there's another person who's passionate. When she starts to talk about these things, you may think she's rowing. She ain't rowing. No, she ain't rowing. It's just passion. It's fire. And so you've been listening to the conversation, Karen, and thank you so much for joining us. It's so great to have you. From the aspect of, because you're the chairman of the Bahamas Agri-Entrepreneurs Cooperative, so you are leading a group of individuals who are professionally participating in food production in this country. So I want you to talk a little bit about the cooperative and a little bit about what you're doing and some of the challenges that have been discussed in that circle as we talk about food security in this country.
Thank you so much, Robin. I appreciate the opportunity, and a good afternoon, Bahamas. I'm hoping that out of this conversation, we will have some action. And not to say that there hasn't been any, but there's more to be had in respect to agriculture. And going to the question that you asked, if we're doing enough, no, we're not doing enough. One of the things we need to look at is the bureaucracies that are in place that are hindering the farmers from producing as much as they would like to produce. And my number one item that I've been championing for years is a land document that can be traded. Each land, you have some persons who actually own their own land, which is good, but the majority of the farmers, they
I don't know if you can hear me, Karen, but we're having a little bit of technical difficulties with Ms. Karen Shepherd, and this is a good time to segue to a break. So please stick and stay, radio, Facebook, YouTube, whatever means that you're joining. This conversation is just getting started. You're tuning into the Hit Back with Nahaja Black, with special guest host Robin Lines. I'll see you after the break.
This traffic report is brought to you by Shield Insurance and Prudential Loss Adjusters.
This is your National Traffic Eye in the Sky report. Looking at the traffic situation for today, Prince Charles Drive, traffic building not completely thick yet, but in the areas near Soldier Road, there are both lanes are blocked. And of course, East-West Highway near Marathon, that's going to be blocked in all directions. Lots of traffic right there in the bottleneck, right in that area right there. Blue Hill Roads near Wolf Road, traffic is thick. And matter of fact, all Wolf Road has some traffic, and it's getting thick and slow moving as we speak. In the Carmichael Road area heading south, lots of traffic in the Carmichael Blue Hill Road area, and Carmichael is booked and locked in both lanes. Both lanes traveling east and west are filled with traffic, and so if you're coming, you need to avoid the Carmichael Road area. When we look at Gladstone Road, not a lot of traffic in the Gladstone Road area, and of course Blue Hill Road south, it's just beginning to thicken traffic-wise. Thanks for locking in. Stay where you are. This is B. Archer for the NASA Traffic Report, Eye in the Sky View.
This NASA Traffic Report service is the Payne Place. Having 25 years of providing quality products, affordable prices, they are the sole distributors of Benjamin Moore and Rich's Paints. Now a 20% store-wide sale going on. Meet their friendly and knowledgeable staff in three locations, Bilney Lane, Sandy Port, and Marshall Bar Abaco. Call 394-2113 for more info.
Michael was in a horrible car accident. Prudential Loss Adjusters managed his claim and got him the settlement he deserved. Sierra's roof received hurricane damage. Thanks to Prudential, she and her kids are happy with their claim settlement. Tammy fractured her ankle in a slip and fall. Prudential saved her time, money, and peace of mind. Prudential Loss Adjusters are here for you whenever a tragedy strikes. Call 322-4026 now.
Protect the things that really matter to you. Shield Insurance is the insurance company that grows with you to meet your insurance needs through this beautiful adventure we call life. From automobile to home to life and health, boat, liability, construction, and business insurance. Shield has affordable policies, flexible options, friendly service, and the expertise to protect your hard-earned assets. Shield Insurance agents and brokers in Nassau. Call 356-7202 or Freeport 352-5945.
It's PTC, 12 days of Christmas giveaway. That's right. PTC is giving you free cash and prizes for the next 12 days leading up to Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, PTC gave to me free cash, free service, and a free prize from PTC. Oh, just pay your bill in full or sign up for any service, and you can be a winner with our 12 days of Christmas promotions. Merry Christmas from PTC. Yeah.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number, they see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. That's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
You have to be strong in today's world.
Strong.
Keep your focus and
up.
What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams.
Hey.
Keep moving forward. Never accept less than who you are. Live your best life.
Hey.
Be strong and free. It's the Hit Back.
Hey.
With Natasha Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back.
Good afternoon, everyone. If you're tuning in to Guardian Radio, you're listening to the Hit Back with Natasha Black. Nahaj isn't here, but I'm in the big chair today. This is Robin Lyons filling in, and today we are talking achieving food security in the Bahamas. Are we doing enough? And I've been joined by very special guest, Karen Shepherd, who's the chairman of the Bahamas Agri Entrepreneurs Cooperative, and also Senator the Honorable Dr. Irecia Hepburn. And we were having quite a good discussion about food security. Now, Ms. Shepherd, you had a bit of technical challenges just like me. I don't know what's happening today. But you were
talking. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you clearly now. But you were talking a little bit about the farmers, the plight of the farmers, what is necessary. I'm excited also to bring in Mr. Leroy Major, the MP for Southern Shores and chair of BAIC. So just tell us, you know, you were trying to finish that thought. What's happening with farming in this country? Are we doing enough? Are farmers doing enough? What's going on?
Well, to answer your question, I think we need to go first. What is our objective for the country? And our objective for the country is to have food security. Food security in that when we are able to supply food to our populace in and everyday access at affordable prices. And at the end of the day, the farmers will make a profit from their hard labor. So that's number one. Then secondly, we need to go to the root problem. One of the root problems that we have is land ownership. The government has so graciously leased land to so many persons and so many farmers who have been farming for over 20 some years and have yet to receive a tradable document. So that's one of the root problems there. If farmers can get a tradable document that they can use as collateral to be able to build their business, that would be a number one step in the right direction. Then we need to look at, we've been fortunate in the last administration to have received some grants, and some farmers receive some of their grants, but there are other farmers who are still waiting on grants that have been approved, but they've not yet received them. So the long and short of it is they need to be in a position to fund their business. They need to be able to have access to loans, which are available, but they don't have the tradable document to obtain the loan. So it still puts them in a double whammy there. And then thirdly, you have farmers who are aggressively farming with the little resources that they have, and they're producing top quality produce. the crops and the food that the farmers are producing, you can taste the difference in the food that is produced here in Bahamas. And I've said this over and repeatedly. And also, you can actually feel the difference in your body when you eat the food that is grown locally. You know, we have two of the biggest problems in our health society with diabetes and hypertension. And that's as a result of people eating poorly. And if persons could get on the bandwagon and eat healthy, grown, locally flavored foods, they would be heading in the right direction. We also want to be able to say that we do have a roster of farmers who are doing their best in producing and doing farmers.
We seem to be losing you again. And so I think this is a good time to bring in my third guest, who is the chair of the BAIC. It's so good to have Mr. Leroy Major in the show, chair of the Bahamas Agricultural Industrial Corporation. I hope you can hear me, Mr. Member of Parliament for Seven Shores. And you've been tuned into the conversation as well. And the role that you have, I think, is a big one as we address this topic of food security. I think the level of significance and importance of this to our country really can't be overemphasized. And Karen raised three really good points. She talked about access to land, grants, and access to funding for farmers. And she talked about just the food, and I see Dr. Hepburn shaking her head in agreement because these are some of the things that she's also raised. But what the kind of food that we produce locally, the fact that that just has a better impact on our bodies, on our systems. It's healthier, you know, it's better for us, it's more affordable. We know the nature of its production. And so, Dr. Hepburn, I want you to talk a little bit more about that when we get to you. But, you know, Mr. Major, talk a little bit about BAIC and some of the things, the programs that and initiatives that you have lined up, kind of try to address a lot of these challenges that we face, particularly in relation to farmers and the support that they feel is necessary for them to produce at the level that is required.
Well, thank you, Attorney Lyons. It's good to be on your show.
Good to have you. Thank you for coming.
And ladies, it's good to be among you. I must say, all two of them, they literally hit the nail on the head. But we got to bring it together. Let me just tell you about BAIC, and we can see how we can pull all of this together. BAIC is some 40 years old, okay? And when it was established 40 years ago, it was established to encourage agriculture in this country. It was established to sustain it, to facilitate it, to market it, and to process it. And when we talk about marketing, we talk about marketing locally and foreign. And so what we face in this country now, literally, is a deficit. And so BAIC will have to become that mechanism to bring this food sustainability alive. You know, that is our mandate from our government to food sustainability. So here at BAIC, this is what we want to do. We're going to encourage farmers to come on board to register themselves. We have farmers on every farm of the island. We have a lot of them in Nassau. We don't know who they really are. And so what we're going to do is we're going to encourage all of them to register. And this is going to be a collaboration with BAIC and BAMSI, okay? And what BAIC is going to do is we're going to go back to our mandate, where we will encourage farmers to farm, okay? Now, one of the biggest obstacles in the past is that farmers did not really get that government support like they needed. And that's what we're going to do this time around. We're going to support our farmers. We're going to put our farmers on a crop rotation or schedule to ensure that we don't have any overlap in our crop growing. But when we come to food sustainability, it has to be a network. Not only network with the government officials, the ministry, but also networking with the farmers. because we all need to be on the same page with the same goal. And BAIC will be that mechanism to ensure that, number one, like Chairman Shepherd said, they have a lot of problem with their land ownership. And BAIC is in the position to lease land. And in doing so, we will ensure that our farmers get the right documentation for their land, that they themselves even could take their farm to another level and go to the bank and use the document. You see, it don't make no sense with us trying to get the farmers to do what they need to do if we don't help them. Exactly. And so we're going to go all the way with it. We're going to give them the support that they need, whether the technical support they need, we're going to give it to them to ensure that we make it go. If the government is not, it is evident that the government can't do it. We need the farmers to do it. And in order for the farmers to do it, we have to be there for the farmers, we have to encourage them, we have to support them and give them the necessary tools, machinery, whatever they need, in order for them to meet our goal. Your goal is our goal, not their goals. And so we have to do our endeavor best to ensure that the farmers do what they need to do. So the BAIC is in that position. Maybe number one, we're going to start starting January. We're going to have a lot of town hall meetings, talking to farmers. Let them know we want you on board. This is our vision, whether it's in fruits or vegetables, whether it's in poultry or livestock. We want farmers to be on board. And between BAIC and BAMSI, we will ensure that every farmer in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas get the technical, the financial support that they need.
You know, it's interesting that you said that because one of the things, and when we talk about access to land, this is the thing, and we always talk about this too. Individual foreigners come into this country with a briefcase and a dream, mm-hmm. and they get concessions, they get grants, they get the red carpet rolled out for them, and the truth of the matter is the vast majority of all of their earnings are leaving this country at excessive rates, and as soon as their business is not viable for them, they pack up and they're gone. They have no real, they're not really vested in making sure that we thrive as a country. They want to make sure that they thrive as businessmen. So when Bahamians who are farming, when Bahamians who are doing any kind of business locally are met with the kind of challenges that we're talking about today, it's discouraging. How do we say to our young people that farming, that fishing, that aquaponics, and all of these other agribusiness opportunities are viable and sustainable professions for you when we're not necessarily putting in the infrastructure, the policy in place to give them what they need to support? Everybody knows that if you go to the bank with a business idea, you ain't getting no money. If I go to the bank for a car, if I go to the bank for a loan to buy some things from Miami or Florida, you can give me that money. If I go to the bank for any consumer loan, school fees, vacation, they're giving me that money. If I ask for the same amount to start a small business, it is the tape in red, the tape velvet, it's blue, it's pink, it's yellow, it's black. It's a straitjacket, really. Dr. Heffern, I want you to talk a little bit about that. I'm not able to hear you. I don't know if your microphone is off or you can turn up your volume. But I want you to address it, and then I'll get to you, and Karen, and you, Dr. Major, before we take another break. But I want you guys to talk about this kind of push to making the resources that are needed available, because truth of the matter is I don't hear too much going on from the industry. I know that they've done a few public demonstrations, but I don't know if they're being sufficiently vigorous and vocal about what they need. So I want to hear from you first, Dr. Heffern, and then we'll take it to you, Karen.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay. You wanted me to go first, right?
Yes, please.
Okay. So definitely, I think a part of the issue is persons, there's always a communication and disconnect, if you ask me. We have technical places like IECA, Inter-American Institute for Cooperation and Agriculture. We now have CARDI in here, which is a part of research. We have BAIC, which we already heard from Chairman Major, which is going to be doing a lot more and helping with marketing. Farmers have a certain amount of concessions, but how much red tape did they have to go through to get, if any, of those concessions? And a part of it is streamlining the process. You heard the first thing that the chairman said. I always, when I teach my basic agriculture class, ask students to access the farmers registry, something that you think should be public, right? But it's not. It's not easy to access, and you never have the accurate information on it. When you get a registry and try to call people to follow up, more than half of the list of persons who've already deceased. So we help to learn to do better, keep better records, and ensure that we know the people who are actually producing. We have this mantra that a lot of young people are not in agriculture. I'm not finding that to be true. People my age and younger, a lot of them have started agricultural endeavors and agri-entrepreneurs. But how are we capturing that that set of individuals? We're not. You can't capture things or know things without basic research. Ms. Shepherd caters to one group of individuals who are in agriculture. There's a whole other younger group that I'm a part of. I don't think anybody over 45 is in that group. So there are different demographics, and of course those demographics gravitate to each other. But what we need to do, one is, like Chairman Major say, ensure that we know all the people who are producing.
I want you to hold that thought, Dr. Hepburn. I like your train of thought. We got to pay some bills, though. And I want someone to win this $20 gift certificate that we're going to be giving away as part of Nahasha's. I think it's the 12-day giveaway leading all the way up to Christmas. But we'll be right back after the break. This conversation is getting really good. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahasha Black and special guest host Robin Lyons. We'll be right back.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
To be strong in today's world,
strong.
Keep your focus and
up. Up.
You believe in how to achieve all your dreams.
Hey.
Keep moving.
Good afternoon, everybody. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Hit Back with Nahasha Black, with special guest host today, Robin Lyons, and all of my extremely special guests, Senator the Honorable Dr. Eresia Hepburn, and also I have the Member of Parliament for Southern Shores and newly appointed Chairman of the AIC, Leroy Major, and Ms. Karen Shepherd, who's the current chairperson of the Bahamas Agri Entrepreneurs Cooperative. And we've been getting into a really great conversation talking about food security in the Bahamas, how do we achieve food security in the Bahamas, and how much are we doing. I want to read a comment, Dr. Hepburn, before you complete that thought that you have, because I think it's in keeping with something that Devan Sands has said. He said, I hope we can grow more natural foods and not hybrid GMO seeds, foods made from plastic and seedless foods, et cetera, which are not good for human consumption. And you also talked about these pillars because, like I said in the onset of the show, food security is not just about having food. It's about the quality of food. It's about the stability of the production of food. It's about the use of our food and actually being able to properly prepare and consume. It's also about the, like I said, the utilization, the stability, the quality, and the affordability. Because if I am not a person of means, exactly, if I'm not a person of means, and the only thing I can afford are the noodles, are the Vienna sausage, you know, a little bit of rice, then whilst I have access to food, is it giving my body the nutrition that I need to live a long, healthy life? We are leading the Caribbean and in some instances the world in many non-communicable diseases like hypertension, like diabetes, like heart disease, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of it is directly related to our food. And so I want you to finish that thought that you had, Dr. Hepburn, talking about young people
wanting to get into farming and the lack of support, and then I'm going to take it back to Karen to fill that in a little bit, and then we'll go to Mr. Major.
So we do have a lot of young people coming into it, but one of the things, and I'm so glad the show was today, because literally at lunchtime today, I actually had lunch with the Minister of Education. And one of the things that we discussed was ensuring that we have a BJC for agriculture and a BGCSC for agriculture. Because she asked me, Inicia, why is agriculture such a big deal for you? Why was this so important to you? And I told her the story, and I haven't said this publicly actually before, so I'm sharing it with you all. I said, at my school, the then Minister of Agriculture was Perry Gladstone Christie. And he came and indicated how much we needed persons
to get. Please don't walk in there and get dirty shoes.
Why it was important, and especially the lack of having females in there. And so before that speech, I was not a really big advocate, but after listening to him and his passion, my daddy cleared down a lot on the side of us, and we started planting, I think, the next week, because I must say, my parents have always been, anything that I was interested in, they've always been my biggest supporters. And from then to now, agriculture has been a passion for me. I understood it. I'm a firm advocate for agritourism, linking our weakest sector with our strongest sector. I've advocated this for these. Ms. Shepherd knows particularly. These are things that where we could tap in and get more persons interested. You have to meet people where they at, and we could move and make the paradigm shift by being a little bit more creative, by encouraging the linkages that we could form, and by giving the governmental support. I am confident in this administration that we will help the governmental support to make a substantive change in agriculture.
Thank you so much, Dr. Hepburn. Ms. Shepherd, I want you to talk about what has the Bahamas Agri Entrepreneurs Cooperative, what have you guys done in your mind to really encourage the next generation of farming entrepreneurs in our country? Because where there's no succession planning, there's no future. And so I want you to touch a little bit on that. And then I want to get Mr. Major in to talk about how BAIC is intending to firm up these individuals, these Bahamians who are interested in entering the industry. Someone made a comment, Candace. She said it would be encouraging if the agricultural community spoke in dollars. How much money does certain crops generate, et cetera? So I want you to talk about that first. Talk about what are you guys doing as a cooperative to encourage and support the next generation of farmers?
Okay, I'd like to say that one of the things that we've been doing, first of all, is getting our farmers to a point where they are consistently producing their crops. And I think that has been one of the discouraging points for young persons, because they see farmers as a poor man's job, which it isn't. In order to be in farming, you actually have to have a considerable amount of wealth to be able to consistently produce what you need to do. And so most persons have been looking at farming in a negative way, but we've turned it around, and young persons are now seeing the benefits of being in agriculture. They're seeing the benefits of producing the crops that we need to eat on a daily basis. And I just want to go back to one point that you had brought up, Robin, in respect to eating healthy. One of the things that we have done here at Down to Earth Adventure Farm is Mrs. Sinclair has produced the seedlings for the backyard farming. And we have over 3,000 persons that we've actually touched with seedlings, that they have come into the farm to purchase seedlings to create their backyard farming. So that is one point that we have done. We have the second generation from the farmers who are now producing crops. They have their children now in the business and producing fruits and vegetables, wanting to even expand it more. And so their eyes are now being open as to the value of what agriculture really is to the Bahamas. So those are two prongs on which we have already started. And you have other numerous farmers out there who are producing additional seedlings to be able to provide for the community. We also have, as I had mentioned earlier, the farmers market that we have on Fridays and Saturdays at the Gladstone Road. We have young persons working the stalls that we have, and when we invite persons to come by and see what we have, and they actually, and I can attest to this, when persons purchase our vegetables, our locally grown lettuce and our locally grown kale and our locally grown switchyard, they come back to us and testify that, hey, listen, this actually tastes good. And so we're making an effort to put an indent in, one, the foods that are not good for you, and secondly, consistently producing it. Like I said, most of the challenges will come in the bureaucracies from the government for the farmers. But you have the farmers out there who are aggressively producing eggs and producing chicken and pigs and, you know, pork, all of this items that we eat every day. And so these are some of the things that we're doing. We're looking at also for next year. We had hoped that this year we would have had a lot more training this year, but that didn't happen because of the COVID and the restrictions. However, in 2022, we're going to move forward with the educational programs that we have in place in conjunction with the Caribbean Israeli group that we've connected with. And we're going to have some agronomists come from Israel who's going to assist us in teaching our farmers how to be able to ensure that they have the proper soil settings for their growing, because everything rises and falls on the soil. And so all of these things we have already started doing. And we have started to be able to have persons put together their inventory controls. Not all of them have done it. You have some persons who are doing their inventory controls, who are saying what they're going to have ready for this month and what we're going to have ready for the next 120, 60, and 180 days down the road. We've also liaised with the cruise ships in regards to being able to supply them with certain goods. We've also liaised with some of the restaurants and some of the chefs who are very excited, very, very excited about purchasing locally grown fruits and vegetables. So we're on the move. We have a lot of things going on in the cooperative. Our group is a very exciting group. Persons in the group find that they can actually put questions in the group and get positive responses from other farmers who are experiencing certain things. And so as a result of that, we are on the move, we're rebuilding, and trust me, 2022 is going to be a very exciting year for agriculture. And we know within ourselves that we're going to put a dent in the imports that are coming in.
Well, so I'm happy to hear that, because like I said, $1 billion, and it may be even more now, you know,
yes.
And it's questionable why we continue to sustain that level of import with all of
two years ago, I had said to the government, I said, listen, in order for us to really change agriculture, turn it around, flip it over, and make it really productive, we need to invest at least $100 million into agriculture. And that's just a drop in the bucket. Revamping agriculture to the point where it can be a main industry like tourism and have persons working in that sector. And, you know, the other day we had a session with women who were speaking, and I used the example. We have, just take for example, one item. If we took the coconut, you get five items from the coconut. And when you get that five items, you have at least a multiplicity of workers, because you first have to get the coconuts out of the tree. You have to bark the coconuts. You then have to take the jelly or the nut out of it. And then you can produce the coconut oil. And then you have the coconut water with one item. Tell me, why in the Bahamas that we do not have a coconut factory? We have these young men on the sides of the road, sitting on the ground, barking coconuts. Why do we not have an established warehouse or facility
where they can go, Karen? See, this is where we are going.
Let me let Dr. Hepburn chime in. She wants to get in this conversation.
The benefits of having these industries, and there's nothing preventing us in our cooperatives, us as agriculturists, for doing some of these things. A part of it is showcasing. I know, like Karen said, Ms. Shepherd said, you have people
who
that cannot meet their demand on a weekly basis. I in a chicken group, and every day that they waiting for when slaughtering happening. You have people that cannot meet the local demand.
But we are looking at revamping that, Senator. We are looking at revamping that. We cannot keep dwelling on what is not happening. We have to develop on what is happening.
One second, ladies. There are shortfalls,
but in the midst of the false short, we're going to counteract that by producing and getting other persons involved in producing what needs to be produced.
Give me one second, Karen. I want you to hold that thought, because I want to hear what Dr. Hepburn is saying about the shortages, because if we have to look at the conversation from all sides, if we want to encourage farmers, if we want to encourage the industry, if we want to really talk about sustainable food production in the Bahamas, then what she's saying is that, no, Doc, you were talking about the lack of being able to meet the demand. I can't hear you very well, though. Say it again.
Hold on. I was actually piggybacking what Ms. Shepherd was saying. I was going to say, in a cooperative, because we have people who can meet the ag demand, the joy of having a cooperative before I was cut off is that you could call on somebody else to meet the demand for you. That's the joy. We need to start working together. That was the point that I was about to come with. The problem is we operate too much in our silos. So you help people producing, and we have to start being more collaborative. I agree with her. I get seedlings. I just passed on some seedlings from Down to Earth Farm to Alfred Says to put inside one of his greenhouses. I sent another farmer to get them from us. So I believe in the work that a lot of the agriculturists and farmers are doing in our country. But what I'm saying is it helps to be more exposed. You heard Ms. Shepherd say people are telling you what they produced it in 100 days or 20 days or whatever. This needs to be on a format. Like, I'm hoping we have Bamsi, and I'm sorry that Pastor Major had to leave or having a bad connection, because BAI, she should have a daily roster of what farms have which produce available. You should be able to go on their website so you could know where to purchase at any point in time local foods. A part of it, we did a survey a while back with the IDB, and one of the issues they have is some consumers honestly did not know where to get local food from. And so we have to ensure we have the full circle. This is where BAIC needs to come in, because a lot of farmers, like Ms. Shepherd said, are actively just into agriculture. And farming is a science and a business. So you need more than just producing, but for those that need help with marketing, this is where the government should come in. For those that need help with labeling and other items, grading, all of those things, this is where you need the government assistance. I worked at the South Carolina Department of Agriculture. Their farm bill, you heard Ms. Shepherd say $100 million. That's a drop in the bucket. $100 million is just what our wheat growers was getting.
Wow. That's a mouthful. Ms. Lady is back in the studio with us. You're right in time for me to take a break. We got to pay some bills. You're listening to the Hit Back with Nahaja Black with special guest host Robin Lines and all of us. Leroy Major, Senator Hepburn, Ms. Karen Shepherd, and all of you that are tuning in, let's get back to this conversation right after the break. Stick and stay.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Last year, I missed the opportunity to spend time with my 90-year-old grandmother because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But this year, that won't happen. I'm fully vaccinated, and I won't miss the chance to spend time with my Grammy this Christmas. COVID-19 vaccinations help to protect you by teaching your body how to fight the virus without putting yourself at risk of severe illness. The vaccination also helps to keep our families and communities safe. By not being vaccinated, you and your family may be at risk of serious lifelong complications from a COVID-19 infection. Vaccinations prevent regret and fear that someone you love will die from COVID-19. Some of you did it for the gram. I did it for my gram. Persons wishing to be vaccinated should visit the website vax.gov.bs. The Ministry of Health and Wellness also encourages persons to pay attention to announcements on when a pop-up vaccination center will be hosted near you. This message is brought to you by the Public Hospitals Authority. The Public Hospitals Authority, working together for best quality healthcare.
You've heard about the 12 days of Christmas, but this year, Rem is giving you even more Christmas with 31 days of giveaways. Simply sign up or upgrade to Trio or pay your Rev bill in full. Then listen to yours truly, the Natural Empress, and Free Your Mind every weekday to find out if you've won prizes like 55-inch smart TVs and up to $20,000 in cold hard cash. Call 601-8992 today. Rev, you and us together.
Happy Holidays from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's the most beautiful time of the year.
You have to be strong in today's world.
Strong.
Keep your focus and
up.
What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams.
Hey.
Keep moving forward. Never accept less than who you are.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for coming back and sticking with us all the way through. You're listening and you're tuning in to The Hit Back with Nahasha Black with special guest host Robin Lines and my guest today, Senator Hepburn, Ms. Karen Shepherd, and of course the MP for Southern Shores and Chair of the AIC, Leroy Major. I, ladies, sisters, I think that we touched on something. I just want to get to a few of these comments because people are really chiming in and expressing some of the things that they're thinking. There's one particular comment from Fred Moss. I'm going to get back to that because I want us to discuss that. But Candace said it would be encouraging. Well, we already read that one. Sorry. Here's Irma. She said, let's talk about food import lobbying. And she was referring to Fred Moss's post. Candace is saying this is an exciting conversation to have. Then we have Whitland Miller. You talk about a coconut factory, Ms. Shepherd, and Whitland is saying that there is a coconut factory by Ulette Edion. And so that is some information that is good to be shared. Also, Michelle Monroe said, yes, we need a chicken and coconut factory. And then Positivity says, can you share information for the chicken group or where we can purchase local chickens? So, Dr. Hepburn, if that's something that you can text into the live YouTube or the live Facebook feed, that would be good. And everybody is talking about the fact that, yeah, we need to network. Because the significance of this show is that a lot of what I'm hearing today, I didn't know. And so who's managing the marketing? Who's managing the public relations? And so when we talk about a cooperative, when we talk about collaboration, these are some of the things that should be coming out of that. You know, a weekly special from your local farmers, produce and timelines for when certain crops are in season, and also information about health. What are certain fruits and vegetables good for? What ailments can they cure? What ailments can they prevent? Are we doing enough outside of government, is the cooperative doing enough? Are farmers doing enough? Are our supporters doing enough? Like Senator Hepburn down there teaching young brilliant minds in UB. But I wanna share this comment by Fred Moss. Fred says, while we talk food security, I question if our leaders, and he said all parties, have the will to go against the food import lobby to effectively deal with this problem. He says during the early 1990s, Perry Christie, who was the then Minister of Agriculture, along with Dr. Godfrey Anus, came up with a crop calendar which showed which crops was readily available during what time of the year, and how they grew best during the year, and what were the best crops, etc. And he said the farmers were left holding the bags with their crops as a result of the extent of the food import lobbying. So I want to start with you, Dr. Hepburn. What do you say to that?
And then I think There's been a change. First off, I think what he's lobbying for is probably trade restriction. That's not going to happen. And I'm not a huge advocate of using trade restrictions, except maybe if we join the WTO, putting our agriculture in the green box. I think we have, AICA has just reminded me about their Buy Local campaign. I think having things like farmers markets and persons who want poultry, again, you could go to the farmer's market every Friday and Saturday. Justin Taylor has a lot of his chickens out there. There are other persons out there too. So I encourage you, Gladstone Road Farmer's Market, and hopefully we get on board at least two other locations, because I do understand some people just saying, oh, I have to drive all the way to Gladstone Road. But for now, I encourage people to go to that farmer's market. You'll know where your chicken is coming from. You could speak to the farmer who's producing your chicken. You know whether they have used antibodies or not in that chicken. He has been doing a lot of research because he also works at the university for different feeds. So it's extremely important to know exactly where your food comes from. Because like we said, it even helps with the environmental footprint. But again, to his point, I think farmers, and this, I do believe government should assist with the marketing. And this is with the Buy Local campaign, not only government, but all of our agricultural institutions that AICA is doing, because you have to compete. We have to compete. We're in a global environment. And once you taste, like Ms. Shepherd said, and everybody knows this, once you taste local food, that's what the preference is. When I did my dissertation in 2008, again, it was about agritourism. You found that every hotelier wanted to purchase local. You know what their issue was? It wasn't taste. It wasn't quality. It was consistency of supply. That was the negative and main issue. Consistency of supply. So clearly, we have the ability to taste. Clearly, we have the taste. We have the ability to produce what is right. It's the consistency of the supply. That's the issue.
That is one of the biggest issues that we are trying to eradicate at the moment and moving forward. And as I had indicated, 2021 was to be the year of training and organizing our farmers to ensure that they keep proper records, daily records, and be able to say exactly how much they're producing and when is the expectancy. So that has been the challenge for many moons. We know it's not going to happen overnight. However, we are working in the direction to counteract that problem. And in getting back to your point with collaboration, the other day I had to collaborate with a number of farmers to get a certain amount of eggs to a particular distributor, to a particular purchaser. So we do, if you ever fall short and you need eggs, let us know. There are other farmers in our group that have eggs that we will be able to collaborate with you and supply additional eggs to you. As far as chickens are concerned, you only have a certain group of persons who are producing chickens on a weekly basis, but you also have persons who are producing pork and mutton. Those are also available. The fresh vegetables that we have, like the kale and the switchyard, we do a great job here at down to earth with the kale, the switchard, and all the leafy green vegetables. We do a fantastic job with that, and we have that consistently. So those items are on a consistent basis from us. There are other farmers in some of the islands that are now producing the leafy vegetables. You also have tomatoes that are coming up now. We're going to have tons and tons of tomatoes coming up in January, February. So those items are going to be consistent. I've been stressing the point that the summer months for us are, excuse me, the most difficult months because of the heat. Other than that, we're able to produce from October straight around to April.
Well, one of the things, and I'm glad Mr. Major is back because you know he was in and out for a lot of the conversation. But take for instance tourism, right? And that's why I made the point. A lot of what is being said here today is new information for people, and that's part of the problem that persons not only don't know sufficiently where to get what they need, but there are challenges with production and sustainable production, et cetera. But take this example, right? The amount of millions of dollars that we give in concessions, hotels and large tourism developments to advertise their products. The amount of millions and millions of dollars that we bear as a country in advertising their products. The Ministry of Tourism sends me emails advertising other people's hotels, privately owned businesses, right? Why isn't the Ministry of Agriculture doing the same thing when it comes to agricultural and fishery and industrial businesses in the country? Why isn't there a word of marketing or information, and maybe BLIC can talk a little bit about this, because part of being able to for people to be able to access the kind of food that we're producing is knowledge. They have to know. They have to know what. They have to know when, and they have to know where. And so I want, maybe Mr. Major can talk to me a little bit about what is the government's policy initiative in relation to assisting our farmers and our local fishermen and producers in getting a larger marketing audience for their produce.
Okay, Robin, thank you again. Listen, like I said earlier, BAIC was established not only to facilitate, okay, and to encourage agriculture in the country, but it's also established to market their product. So going forward in 2020, next year, BAIC will become the marketing agent for all of our agriculture products, not only agriculture, but also our manufacturing products. So what we want, and like I said earlier, matter of fact, Senator Hepburn mentioned that a lot of farmers are operating in silos. We could never obtain food sustainability if we continue that method. BAIC intend to, not when we encourage our farmers, we intend to get every product that the farmer produced and bring it into BAIC, and we will market that product. Sellable on the shelves, we will take that and we will send that over to be processed. Our duty is this. We do not want our farmers to sell their products. We would like to sell the farmers' products, okay? All we want the farmers to do is to grow their products. BAIC mandate is to market that. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to relieve the pressure of the farmer to sell their products. And yes, you are so right. When it comes to the hotel industry, everybody get involved and market the tourism aspect. But guess what? We are intent in 2022 to transform, to or revolutionize our economy by introducing agriculture in a meaningful way. We intend to ensure that the farmers literally benefit from the works of their hands. And so BAIC and BAMSI will play a very important role in the progress of food sustainability in our country. So when it comes to the marketing aspect, leave that to BAIC. We will do that. As a matter of fact, we'll be putting some mechanism in place right now to carry that forward. But the first we have to do is we need every farmer to buy into the product. We have to come together and we have to be unified and we have to strategize and we have to execute.
But Mr. Chairman, let me ask you this question. Are we skipping a step though? Because if BAIC wants to market, if BAIC wants to sell, then should we not first be looking at increasing production capacity? And looking at from a policy perspective, and this is above BAIC's mandate, but I'm talking also about access to Crown land. I'm talking also about access to capital, because Ms. Shepherd mentioned something. Now, people think farming and fishing is a poor man's industry, but they ain't.
It's a billion-dollar operation.
Get those boats. If you don't have money to sustain that operational cost, you're out of business. So we have to look too at the access to resources by persons who want to get into sustainable and consistent farming. Because if I want to get to BAIC to market and sell my crops, then I need to be able to consistently produce them at a scale and at a level and at a quality that is worthy for marketing and consumption. So we also have to look at the support that farmers are getting and the grants that Ms. Shepherd made reference to and alluded to earlier. You know, the requirements for those grants, the amount of those grants, Crown land applications for agricultural use, et cetera, We need to make information regarding these things easily accessible, move the red tape in terms of the requirements and application if we're really, really serious about farming as a sustainable industry. Because I looked at when the former administration was saying that we were spending as a country $1 million on food distributions for persons who needed it during the pandemic. And the first thought that came to my mind was, have we completely exhausted on a weekly basis all of what is available to us locally to make sure that the majority of that money stays in the country? But what I saw was flour and rice and crackers and noodles, right? Not enough food, not enough vegetables. Even partnering with the local fishermen to say, listen, man, don't give me Lightfoot Key and Albany prices, but let's get some fresh fish, right? On some fresh clunk in some of these homes that we are spending $1 million a week on. And so, you know, there's a level of frustration in the industry. There's a level of frustration with people in the food stores. One of my good friends, Therese Cox, is texting me right now, and she's talking about the fact that, in Dubai, in Abu Dhabi, they are growing in the desert. In Israel, they're growing in the desert. We got land. We got one of the best tables in the world. Why aren't we producing at a higher level? I want you to answer that question, each of you, when we come back. You're listening to The Hit Back with Dahaja Black, with your special guest host, Attorney Robin Lyons, and all of my special guests, the incomparable Karen Shepherd, the inimitable Senator Dr. Eritrea Hebron, and always dapper and always on point, Member of Parliament for Seven Shores, Leroy Major. We'll be right back after we pay some bills, and I promise I'm going to give away that $20 voucher from the cookie caterer.
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family, and family is important to us.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live. At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. That's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
You have to be strong in today's world.
Strong.
Keep your focus and
up.
What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams.
Hey.
Keep moving forward. Never accept less than who you are. Live your best life.
Hey.
Be strong and free. It's back.
Hey.
With the hash of black.
Hey.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hit Back with Nahaja Black. I'm joined by my special guest, Karen Shepherd, Senator Eurethia Hepburn, and Member of Parliament for Southern Shores, Mr. Leroy Major, talking about food security in the Bahamas, talking about what we're doing, talking about farming, talking about the sustainability, viability, affordability, quality of food production in our country, and where do we go from here. So I'm excited about what we've done. Guys, give me 1 second. I want to give away this voucher. I want to give away this voucher. So I'm going to give this to the first person that calls in. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or text 422-4796. So those of you who are joining me via Facebook, joining me via YouTube, joining me via radio, give us a call. And the first person that calls me is going to get this $20 voucher from the Cookie Caterer. Satisfy your sweet tooth this holiday. They have some great stuff down there. I've had some of their cookies and some of their stuff, and it's really good. It's awesome. So let's get back while I wait for that call to give away that voucher. Let's get back to the conversation that we were having. And I want to bring Bamzi into this conversation because Bamzi was supposed to be the answer to a lot of the challenges that we're talking about right now, talking about succession planning, talking about future sustainability. Bamzi was not only producing food, but Bamzi was producing entrepreneurs and farmers. And so Dr. Hepburn, talk to me, first of all, a little bit about Bamzi. And what's happening with the students that you're teaching in terms of your agricultural classes and your thoughts on Bamzi and what's happening now.
Okay, well, being one of the persons that actually, worked and liaised with the University of the Bahamas for the creation of Bamzi, I was really disappointed in the state that is currently in, based on looking at some of the videos that the minister sent. But I know, and I have all confidence in the minister, that we will be restarting and revitalizing Bamzi and making it even better before, and actually for it to hold the purpose that it is supposed to hold. And what it is supposed to be a teaching agricultural organization with several tenants, short courses to do things like backyard farming. You want persons who are actually interested in getting long-term degrees. We're starting off with associate degrees. I will give them credit for the amount of memorandums of understanding, MOUs they have. So hopefully now we could get the scholarships behind that so persons could go off and continue an agricultural education and actually come back and participate in agriculture in the country. So Bamzi needs to be revitalized for several reasons. You heard the chairperson of BAIC talk about partnering with Bamzi for some of the initiatives. And I think all of that is important because we cannot lose the research and education component in anything that we do in our country. We always want to have data and statistics to support why we're making decisions. And I think this government in particular is strong about having that kind of research to back some of the decisions that it makes. So that's one of the key components. And definitely, the way for persons to start their skill sets. I always tell people who, especially because of COVID, now want to transition into new careers, looking at, can I get into Bamzi? What is the access to getting into Bamzi? And I think we have to ensure that it's a smooth transition for persons to get in. And we have to look at having different internship opportunities. And I'm hoping this is where Ms. Shepherd's organization will come in. Some people may not want to come and do the rigorous actual schooling, but can we partner and have mentorship programs where persons can shadow a farmer for, labor that's for free, and they learn in a skill set? we have to be a lot more creative and get in person into the agricultural industry. And I think this government is up to that task.
One of the things that I wanna touch on too, and I'll let Mr. Majid touch on this too. Remember earlier we talked about the coconut factory. You let Eddie and I think. Well, Ulet said just more talk, and she's chiming in via Facebook. She said just more talk. I'll keep doing what I'm doing inch by inch, and I wish Ulet would call in or comment some more, because I want to unpack that comment, because that sounds like someone who's saying to me, and I may be misinterpreting, but it sounds like she's saying to me, you know, we need to do more. Nothing seems to be being done for farmers and for farming. I want to get to a few more comments before I get back to my guest. Deidre Bastien says, farming needs to be taken more seriously because we don't manufacture anything. If we ever face a food shortage, God help us. Farming has been the subject for many years and it's still not organized. That's Deidre. And then you have Whitlin. Whitlin says, to produce to a higher level is possible, but this requires funds. Many farmers suffer loss to theft. Anyone in agriculture recording the loss of farmers are encountering every day. This has to be, is anyone in agriculture recording the loss of farmers sustained every day? This has to be addressed. And I think that's an interesting point. That's a really good point. Looking at the loss that farmers are sustaining, I want to share something that someone who has been texting me back and forth, and this is saying, she says, and this is Cherise Cox, she said, one head of iceberg lettuce at Solomon's is now $5. Yesterday's Gladstone Road Farmers Market, I got two bags of mixed greens with spinach and Swiss chard, a couple of tomatoes and cucumbers and two avocados for $8.
I told you.
We're not just talking about better food. We're talking about affordable food, healthy food. And part of that too is that Gladstone Road for persons who don't have access to transportation though. How do they get there? What about our persons in the inner city? I've seen persons who have introduced now mobile entrepreneurial access. So they take their businesses and they bring it to where you are. I've seen pop-up persons doing pop-up food places and stalls, et cetera, et cetera. Is this something that BAIC can lead? Is this something that the cooperative, the agribusiness cooperative could invest in and lead and do some pop-up farm location?
It happens, Robin. I will say we have partnered with BAIC and had it at UB because that is close to the inner city on a regular basis. COVID had slowed that down. Every Friday, we had a pop-up market because we understand that transportation is an issue and we want as many people to have access to fresh vegetables.
One of the things
Senator, finish your thought and then we'll get straight to you. You saying, Senator, about the pop-up? Because, you know, COVID is with us. COVID is a reality. Is that something that can be introduced with the various restrictions and safety measures in place? Because in building stronger immune systems in our fight against COVID, healthy food is a necessity.
I think we do need to revisit it. I was saying, right before COVID, we had regular farmers markets partnering with BAIC and some of the farmers. We would have it on Thursday because we did not want to interrupt their regular sales. And 2 to 4 on Thursday is a free time for all faculty and students. So we had a very popular market. We had a teaching class where people would learn how to do jams in our labs. We had several things going on because we have a sustainability unit, and that's a part of sustainability. But with COVID, and you know, there's some restrictions coming on campus, there was a change. So we need to now change the way how we think about doing those same things so persons can have continuous access, even if it's outside of the gate technically. But we always want to make sure that we provide access to persons who may not have transportation or may have a form of disability and can come on the Gladstone Roadway just because it may be it not being paved or something. So we will always look for all groups to ensure. And I want to piggyback on the comment before I go turn it over to Ms. Shepherd. I understand the frustration for people in the agricultural industry. I'm in the agricultural industry. I've been an advocate for agritourism for more than a decade. Finally, in this last year, we just got an agritourism council. I know that the frustration is there, but trust me when I say we are moving forward to try and assist the best we can. We may not be able to do everything, but we are definitely going to make a concerted effort to do the best we can and move agriculture forward in this nation for all agriculturalists.
That's good, job, Ms. Shepherd. And I'm going to get to Mr. Major, who's been so gracious to even be part of this show, knowing that he's been in transit with so many other things to do, but he understood the importance of the conversation, and he's made himself available. Ms. Shepherd, you wanted to say something on all of this.
Okay, one thing I want to say is that in respect to the chairman of BAIC, Mr. Major, is that he's saying he wants all the farmers to bring their produce to them. I don't know if all farmers are going to be on board with that. I appreciate his ambition in trying to do that. That may be a challenge. However, if there could be some collaboration in that, then we could probably look at that. I think one of the other biggest challenges for us as farmers is there's a big food conglomerate on Gladstone Road that is competing with the farmers and also want the farmers to bring the items to them, purchase at pennies on the dollar, and then they in turn sell to the bigger resorts. That needs to be looked at and that needs to be addressed because farmers are able to sell their goods at a fair market value rather than selling it under price to be sold to another, to be sold to a middleman and then sold over. While we have all this import, we need to look at the persons who are bringing in these stuff and we know who they are. And the things is that they're bringing in things that are not of good quality. And they're selling it to the food stores, they're selling it to the restaurants. However, at below the value of what the farmers are selling good quality products for. So they're not selling apples for apples. They're selling apples and plums or something like that. And so the thing about it is that's one item that we definitely have to look at. That's a big problem. Even though they have persons who say, yes, they want to work with the farmers and be able to assist the farmers in getting their items to market, it's not being done genuinely for the interests of the farmers. And I know and I experience it, so I know what I'm talking about. And on another note, I'd like to also say that the farmers market on Gladstone Road is the best farmers market that we have at the moment. And just to put a plug in, we're going to be there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week to ensure that people have good produce for the Christmas holidays. Christmas
now, we have five more minutes, so I want to hear a wrap up from the other guest, Ms. Shepherd. So I want to hear Mr. Major, Chairman of BAIC, just your final words in 1 minute. You've heard all that we've talked about. You talked about the collaboration with BAMZI. You talked about what is to come. Just in 1 minute, just give us just a brief summation of what is going to be expected as BAIC seeks to tackle the issue of food security in the country. Just a minute.
Well, I want the farmers to know that, number one, BAIC is there for them, okay? We are there to help you. We are there to steer you. We are there to ensure that the land is available to you. The technical abilities, they are available to you. So we want you to buy into the program, and the program is this. We want you to trust us that we can help you, okay? The bottom line is that we know that there is a demand in this country. The product we have with supplying the demand. And I heard Chairman Shepherd, she talked about selling to the various hotels and all that, right? But I believe if the farmers could come together and we could network, that's what it's all about. If we could network, I truly believe that we could put a dent into our food supply in this country. But it'll have to start where we come together, we unify ourselves, we trust one another, okay? And we could move forward and accomplish this goal.
Absolutely.
Final our government
thoughts,
Dr. is 100%.
We only have about 1 more minute left. Final thoughts, Senator Hepburn?
I just think we need to work collaboratively, and we will get it done.
Yes.
I know we will.
Absolutely. I want to thank all of you for being part of this. I just want to announce, I was waiting for a call in, but I'm gonna give this $20 food, cookie caterers gift certificate to Whitland Miller. She's been the most active, I think, on the chat this afternoon. I think she deserves this.
She's one of our farmers, too.
Whitland is a farmer?
Yes, she is.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
So, Whitland, please call Guardian Radio and speak to the producer. Give him your name, your phone contact, and your email address. Or even if you can private message me on Facebook and give me your full name, email address, and telephone number so I can get this $20 gift certificate courtesy of the Hit Back with Nahaja Black and the Cookie Caterer for you being so active and vibrant and just really sharing some really powerful commentary. I have a commentary from Yulet Miller. If you remember, I told her to call in, and she said, I'm not going to call in. I've been to BAIC on a number of occasions, and I have not really been met with any true interest. She's saying from 2014. So I'd like to actually broker a conversation with her and the new chairman of BAIC, because we need all hands on deck. We need to address the problems of the industry with people who are in the industry, who understand, who are living it, who know what's going on, and who can help us. At the end of the day, we can see the challenges that the world is facing with food production. We can see the challenges that the world is facing with food security. We can see the challenges that the world is facing with quality food. We don't want to be caught in a situation where we're waiting until no one wants to ship to our country. We need to be positioned to feed ourselves. I'm sorry, we have more talk than we have time. You've been listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black with special guest Robin Lines. Thank you, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin. I appreciate that. Great, I appreciate it.
Thank you to everybody that's been tuned in and listening. I can't wait till we have another chance to get another conversation. And sorry for all the technical challenges before. But hey, what can we say? It's The Hit Back with Nahaja Black.
Don't forget, meet me at the Farmers Market Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday next week.
Yes, Farmers Market. Definitely. Have a good evening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place.
Thank you very much.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.